You want to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms. We'll be on Psalm 121 this morning. Psalm 121. We are doing somewhat, this is our fall series. It's on the Psalms of Ascent. The Psalms of Ascent, or if you have an older Bible, it would probably be called the Songs of Degrees. And the reason that they're called the Songs of Ascent, or even the Songs of Degrees, is because they're meant to be sung as believers ascend toward Jerusalem to worship. The Old Testament commanded a great many feasts. Some were feasts of celebration. Some were feasts of confession and repentance. Hi. What are you doing? You coming up here? Are you going to help me? Okay. How about you go find Mom instead? Yeah. Sorry about that, everybody. What was I saying? Oh yeah, ascending the hills to ascending to Jerusalem for the feasts. And so, as the believers, the Jewish believers in the Old Testament, would ascend towards Jerusalem to celebrate either the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Booths, or various other feasts that they were commanded to observe, they would sing these songs on their pilgrimage toward Jerusalem. So it starts in Psalm 120, and it goes right over, right through to Psalm 134. Psalm 120 is the first psalm because it's sung the farthest away. So we talked about this a little bit last week, but it covers people who sojourn in Meshech and dwell among the tents of Kedar. That is Psalm 120, verse 5. Those who sojourn in Meshech and dwell among the tents of Kedar. And though Meshech and Kedar were these really distant lands to the north and the south, Meshech was in the north and Kedar was in the south, and oftentimes in times of exile, the people of Israel would have been dispersed in foreign places like that, and would often dwell among people like that. And yet they were still commanded to go back to Jerusalem and to observe the feasts, no matter how far away they lived. And so they would sing this song, saying, "The Lord is our help, even in times of exile." Psalm 121 is the psalm that we're covering this morning, and it is meant to be sung as we're getting a little bit closer to Israel, but still outside of Jerusalem. Psalm 121 is about lifting our eyes to the hill and looking for the help of the Lord. And that is where we find ourselves this morning, Psalm 121. If you would stand in reverence for God's word, I will read it. Psalm 121, a song of ascents. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." Amen. Please be seated. What do we learn about God from this passage? Who is God? That's not rhetorical. You can answer.
Maker of heaven?
Our help? There's a word that comes up a few times in the midst of that. The Lord is our keeper. He keeps us. We are assured that He will hold on to us. Throughout the course of Israel's history, they spent way more time in exile than they did at home. Quite a lot of them spent time in exile. Even when the kings were still reigning in Jerusalem, many times the borders would shrink because enemy nations would come in from all sides and attack. You know, even if you consider David, King David, and King Saul, who established the beginnings of the monarchy, how many times were they invaded by the Philistines? They were in constant warfare with the Philistines. Solomon had a kingdom that was pretty much safe from invasion. There were still a few times that he got attacked from different sides, but that was kind of the only time in Israel's history where they weren't either about to be invaded, or had just been invaded, or had just evicted those who had just invaded. And that is the cycle of Israel's history, being under threat of invasion, getting invaded, crying out for help, and then God raises someone up to kick them out. That's the judges, and that's what happened in the times of the kings. But the constant assurance that the believers had in Israel, and wherever they happened to be scattered, whoever happened to be ruling them at the time, is that the Lord is our keeper. He keeps us. So that even in the midst of our circumstances, even in the midst of trial and tribulation, of being forced out of our land or being oppressed by those who invade us, God is our keeper. And our enemies can take away a lot of what we love. There were times when even under Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, the king of Egypt came into Jerusalem, invaded, killed a bunch of people, and took all of the precious gold from the temple. The temple that Solomon had only just made. They were constantly under these threats. They were constantly facing these issues. They were constantly being stolen from, and being stolen themselves. But God is our keeper. God was their keeper. And this is a promise that we, as Christians, can cling to. Many people today want to say that the Old Testament is irrelevant, that the Old Testament doesn't have any promises for us. Well, I pity those people, because I really like the promise that God is my keeper, and I want to hold on to that one. Amen. I don't want to get rid of the promises of the Old Testament. Amen. I want to hold on to them. I like that God is my keeper. Because, as we were discussing in Sunday school this morning, if you could lose your salvation, you would. And so I'm really grateful that the Lord is my keeper, that the Lord is my shade on my right hand, that I can lift up my eyes to the hills and see my helper and my keeper here to help me. The context of lifting your eyes up to the hills is an idea of looking up and looking around in anticipation of an attack. If you're going to attack someone, you're going to come up over the hill so that you have the high ground when you attack them. And so as believers are on their way towards Jerusalem under constant threat, they lift their eyes up to the hills and they remind themselves that our help comes from the Lord. We don't look at the hills and think they're very beautiful, and thus we trust in the Lord. We look at the hills and think, an enemy could come over those hills, we better trust in the Lord. We sort of romanticize some of these things, but the believers heading towards Jerusalem did so under constant danger from both bandits and wild animals and various other threats. So they lift up their eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Well, I'm not going to be afraid because my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I look up at the stars. I look at the hills. And I know that the Lord is the one who made them. I look at my enemies and I know that the Lord is the one who made them. And therefore, I will not be afraid. I will have courage. I will stand strong. I will continue on my way to Jerusalem. I don't turn away from Jerusalem because there's danger. I go to Jerusalem all the more, trusting that the Lord is my keeper. That's how important worship was to these people. That even under constant threat, constant invasion, they lifted up their eyes to the hills, and they marched on to the city of God. That's what we're supposed to do as well. We are supposed to lift our eyes up to the hills, be cautious, and march on to the city of God. And we can do this in God's strength. We can do it in God's strength. He will not let your foot be moved. It doesn't say, I will be able to plant my foot strong. It says, God will hold onto my foot so it doesn't fall. You're not planting your feet at all. God is just holding onto them so that they don't slip. He will not let your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. There will never be a time of the day or night where God is not watching over his people. God does not grow tired. This reminds me, set of verses here, verses 3 and 4. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. It reminds me of the exchange that Elijah had on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. I don't know if you know that story. Elijah is up on this mountain, and he's basically has proposed a contest between Baal, the god of the pagans, and God, Yahweh, the God of Israel. And he orders that these big altars get made up, and that they're supposed to call on their God to send fire to light up these altars. And the prophets of Baal are running around and cutting themselves and screaming and dancing and doing all kinds of things in an attempt to get their God to answer them. And Elijah says, you better yell louder. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's just not paying attention to you. Maybe he's out on the potty. You better start yelling louder. And then Elijah just prays very quietly by himself. First he has water poured onto the altar so that it's so gushingly wet that there's no way it could ever light. And then he prays, and God sends fire from heaven and blows up the altar, basically. Because he who keeps Israel does not slumber or sleep. The gods of the pagans slumber and sleep. Our gods, whoa, that was bad. Our God does not slumber or sleep. He does not lose interest in us. He does not stop paying attention to us. Our God is all-knowing. Our God is ever-present. Our God is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Lord of creation, the ruler of all things, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and he does not grow tired. Amen. He does not slumber or sleep. He keeps us in his hand, always, in every circumstance, whether good or bad, in every condition, in sickness and health, in poverty's veil or abounding in wealth, at home and abroad, on the land, on the sea, as thy days may demand, shall God's strength ever be to keep us and to hold us. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Day and night, always, God is with us and beside us, walking with us and holding us up. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The believers in the Old Testament had assurance of their salvation. You can see it right here. They believed that God would stay with them in every circumstance, no matter what. It's kind of funny that we live so much later and we think that we're so much smarter than them, but we've lost the basic idea that God is our keeper. So often in our own culture, we don't think that way, do we? We tend to think that I am my keeper, that I have the ability to hold myself and to keep myself and to ensure that I will remain faithful. We trust in our own strength. We believe that our salvation comes from within, that we have found God and that we have chosen God and that we have the power to unchoose him. But if you're a Christian, the Lord is your keeper. He'll keep you. That means he's not going to let you go. Even if you wanted to be let go, He wouldn't. Because he's the keeper. You're not the keeper. He's the keeper. I'm not the keeper. He's the keeper. God is our strength. He is our fortress. He is our deliverer. He is our help. And this idea that the Lord sustains us and stays with us and keeps us is absolutely essential for us, because if you don't believe that, then you won't be faithful. Then you'll always be despairing and you'll always be fearful, wondering if the Lord is with you. You know, these believers didn't say, danger is coming, we'd better run away. They said, danger is coming, it's a good thing the Lord is our keeper. And they kept on going. They stuck the course. They went to Jerusalem, and they were obedient, and they observed the feasts. They worshiped God. They did not allow danger to get in the way of worship. That's how important worship was to them. That's how important worship ought to be to us. That danger is irrelevant. The Lord is our keeper. And he who keeps us will neither slumber nor sleep. He who guards us, he will not let our foot to be moved. He is our shade at our right hand, by day and by night. By day, when it seems like everything is going really well, and there's not a whole lot of danger around. And by night, when the enemy rules, and it seems like all things are despairing, and we don't have the strength to go on, the Lord is our keeper. The Lord is our keeper. The enemy may seem to rule the night, but even he cannot move a foot if God holds it. The night brings many terrors, but God is our keeper. Danger may be all around us, but God is our keeper. Amen. Do you believe that? I think you look out in the world right now and not a whole lot of people believe that. I really don't. I think that oftentimes I have been guilty of not believing that. And I would defy any of you to say that you have always believed that in every circumstance. I mean, there's a sense in which it's really easy to believe that in the daytime when things are going well. But do you believe that in the night, the long nights, when it seems that you will despair of life itself and your sorrows are building up to a point where they're overwhelming? Do you believe it then? Do I believe it then? I hope I will when that time comes. We have not, many of us, had to face sorrows beyond our ability to bear. Some of us maybe have. I'm sure some of you have. And in those moments when you despair and you feel as though there's no hope, I hope that you will go to Psalm 121 and you will remind yourself that the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. In every condition, in sickness and health, in poverty's veil or abounding in wealth, at home or abroad, on the land, on the sea, as thy days may demand, shall thy strength ever be. Let's pray. Lord, we are so blessed to have you with us. We are so blessed that you keep us, that you strengthen us, that you empower us. Lord, give us the assurance of these Old Testament believers. Lord, give us the courage of these Old Testament believers who, though they dwelt among ungodly people who love war, though they journeyed to Jerusalem in the midst of danger and woe, sickness and death. I pray that we would have their courage. I pray that we would consider the worship of the triune God as so important that we would risk everything to follow Him, looking to the hills and remembering that God is our help, that God is always with us, that His strength is ever present, that His love is ever sustaining. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would inspire our hearts, that You would give us peace and strength, courage more than anything. The courage of knowing that You are always with us. Lord Jesus, we thank You that we can have assurance of our salvation because You paid the price for our sin in full and rose again on the third day, conquering death and sin and hell. Lord, we are so blessed to have You. You could have left us in our sin, but You chose to love us. And we praise You for that, Lord. I ask, Lord, that You would guard us and keep us and make Your face to shine upon us, that You'd lift up Your countenance upon us and give us peace. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.